one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 7th, 2013. The world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end. That's the time before Messiah's glorious return. Listen to the sound of that warning horn. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the noise of the shofar and heed this warning. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 619-4886, area code 316. Folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And, of course, if you folks are in the 15% of the people that really don't listen or use the Internet much, you are more than welcome just to call me with whatever questions that you have. Okay, now a prayer. We'll bring on our guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And I pray that you give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth and just bless us tonight, Father, with your presence in Yeshua's, HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Well, saints in the unsaved, tonight I want you to hear my warning. You know, Saudi Arabia has been investing in Pakistani nuclear weapons projects. They believe right now that they could obtain atomic weapons at will. In fact, we're looking at reports for saying that Pakistan is transferring weapons to Saudi Arabia. Why? Well, this kingdom's quest has been set in the context of countering Iran's nuclear program. It is now possible the Saudis might be able to deploy such devices much more quickly than the Islamic Republic of Iran. And don't think that Iran is not headed towards nuclear weapons, because they are. They're taking advantage of this person we call Obama. Right now, Obama is making a deal with them. Well, he said, just because they told him, they said, well, the Ayatollah said, well, we would never make nuclear weapons, really? Well, he's basing it just off of that fact and saying he wants to make a deal with them. I've seen numerous signs from both the news and prophecy teachers that there will very soon be a really big economic collapse, and they will devaluate most of the currencies and bring others up. Yes, the U.S. dollar will fall, as many economists and men of God, such as Maurice Scholar, has seen visions of. Now, you might know who Maurice is. He is actually a modern-day psalmist. He plays the violin more beautiful than I've heard anybody, and he's been on this program. He gets dreams and visions. Well, it's time to pray and heed the sound of the warning shofar that you hear before the start of each feast program. Time to get right with Yeshua now, not later. Then you better get ready to shut your doors and windows up till the storm passes, or until Yeshua, through the Holy Spirit, tells you to move. When could all this happen? It could be any time. But the time to get ready is now. Get ready spiritually. And, you know, folks, nobody's going to fly out. There's no rapture. That ain't going to happen. It's not pre-trib. Tonight, I'm bringing back on with me Steve Henderson, and he's going to talk about the rapture deception, as I call it. Welcome Now, Steve, are you here with me, Steve?
Grace to you, Brother Dan.
Grace to you, too, brother. I'm glad to have you on. And I didn't mention your website. You might mention it. I had it up here for a minute, but then I noticed there was music playing over it, and I didn't want the microphone to catch it. So tell them where your website's at, please.
It's at www.surewordprophecy.org. And there you'll find a lot of good stuff about Bible prophecy. If you're a prophecy enthusiast, please check it out.
Well, that's real great. You know, I have checked it out, and it's improving pretty dramatically. I like it over there. Something that I want to bring up to you is you know, first off, you heard my lead-in. Things are going to get worse and worse. People out here are thinking, many of them in the Christian church seem to think, well, they don't have to worry about all that because before any real trouble comes, we're going to fly out of here. What do you got to say about that? Are we going to be raptured out?
Well, Brother Dan, I have a deep concern about that. I guess fortunately for me, being raised in a non-Christian home and coming into the Bible without any preconceived ideas about what the Bible spoke of, I became interested in Bible prophecy, you know, over 25 years ago, and I remember looking at the Left Behind.
Wait a second here. Did I hear you say, right? You say 2,500 years ago?
No, 25 years ago.
I thought you started. I'm picking on you. It sounded like you started to say 2,500. I was going to say I didn't know you was that old. Okay.
You know, being a black belt fighter, former black belt fighter, and I fought in tough man contests, I know what it's like to get in the ring. And from what I see in the scripture, my friend, is we are getting ready to get in the ring. Anyone that has their eyes half open recognize something very decisive is taking place around the world. But what I'm mainly concerned about is the idea of a believer's blame, you know, not being prepared for this time. Because you'll never do anything today that you put off till tomorrow. And according to my understanding of Scripture, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins at the end. 5 will be wise, and 5 will be foolish. Now, they all were considered virgins, so they had all received the call, but at the end, they were all flat busted asleep. But there was a call. Behold, the bridegroom is coming, and they all woke up. Now, the wise had something that they could extrapolate from in an extra oil. But the foolish, I believe, were these types who didn't make a preparation and had no concept that it was going to be in their day, nor would they even be there when it happened. So the pre-trib rapture, in my opinion, is a doctrine of the unprepared. And I hope I don't offend anyone, but I hope you have your Bibles because I'm going to be sharing some amazing things with you as I go through this explanation of why I believe that we're going through a great time of trouble and a testing period, a time of fire. The scripture is very clear about that. You tell those Nigerian Christians right now who have been mutilated, women raped, they're killed, their houses and churches are burned down to the ground in last year about a secret rapture. And ask them if they're in great tribulation. Ask the 200,000 Coptic Christians in Egypt who fled from massive tribulation with rapes and mutilation and killings, and now without their homes, refugees everywhere without a place to stay. Tell them about deliverance from the Great Tribulation. How about Nigeria, where 36 were killed in a morning worship service where Islamic adherents went down and slaughtered 36 worshipers? How about the young Christian who was stabbed several times by being falsely accused of insulting the imam? Or how about in Iraq, where Muslim kidnappers gouge out the eyes of a Christian victim, then cut off his head? Ask them about Great Tribulation and see if they're going through Great Tribulation at the moment. How about in Nigeria, where 321 were killed and 575 injured as angry Muslims go on a two-day bender, torching over 40 churches and hacking and burning over 300 Christians to death? How about a Christian family of 16, including children, burned alive? You know, these are recent headlines of Christians all over the world. And we know that there's something coming. But what I see happening, Brother Dan, is it's coming to the Christians before it's all over with. And if you are not aware of that, then you're not going to be able to make that preparation. If I began to study to go in the ring, I would have to get weights on my hands and feet and run long distances, wind sprints, and mentally make a great preparation for this fight. We are getting ready for a fight. And, you know, even though I had made preparations for getting in the ring, when I got in the ring, when I got punched, I never did expect some of those punches that came my way. But at least I had at least mentally and physically prepared for that fight, because if I would not have done that, I would not have lasted very long. My Bible says that during these signs that Jesus gave, surely would precede his coming. He said there'd be people who would hate one another, and the love of many would wax cold. And then he said they'll deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. But it says then that he endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. There's some reasons there why Jesus is saying that. He did not say that we would not escape tribulation. He was saying that they would actually deliver you up to kill you, and you would be afflicted. Now, that was in Matthew chapter 24, in around verse 9 through 12 or so. And what I see is if we do not recognize and get totally prepared for this thing, that we're going to be one of those guys that are found in the book of Thessalonica, to the church of Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, that it says that before the day of the Lord comes, there's going to be a great mass exodus out of Christianity. It's called a falling away. And I really believe that if you have not prepared yourself, and if you don't think you're going to be here, this is a very dangerous doctrine to adhere to. Now, I'd like to take you to what they cite as the main passage of Scripture for the pre-trib rapture, and let's take a look at this to start out with, and then we're going to go on and pick it apart and then add some other Scriptures just to clearly show you we better get ready. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Now, when I talk to many theologians in the past, I've asked them to explain this to me, and they take me to this passage. And I want to read this to you right now. Verse 16, chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now listen, when we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, I've had many give this to me, and I take a look at it and I shake my head. Because when I looked at the Left Behind series and watched the movie, I remember one time thinking to myself, my goodness, this sure isn't very scriptural. Because what I saw in the movie was that one day the people woke up and their wife was gone and they couldn't find their wife, and airplanes fell out of the sky and cars crashed in ditches and one was taken and the other was left. Well, according to my understanding of scripture, but this is not going to be anything secret. In fact, in looking in the passage itself, it says the Lord himself will descend with a shout. And believe me, when the Lord shouts, I think everyone's going to hear about it. And with the voice of the archangel and a trumpet blast of Yahweh. And then at the same time, the dead are coming up out of the graves in the first resurrection. Now, if you connect this catching away with the resurrection, then you'll find out exactly when this time is going to be. It says that after the dead are rising, then we which who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now, this word caught up is where they use the word rapture, which they use from the Latin harpazo or the Greek parousia, which means simply to catch up together. Now, you're being caught up after the dead are being raised, then we're going to be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So it says in verse 15 that we will not precede or go before those who are dead in Christ. So we see the Lord descending, he's shouting with the voice of the archangel and a trumpet blast of God. That's not going to be anything secret. And in fact, you're going to see the dead popping out of the ground. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or so-called rapture. And by the way, I find it interesting that the word rapture is nowhere in Scripture. But they try to exposit the word harpazo or parousia to mean rapture. So, fact number one. When Jesus raises up his believers, it will be a very audible event. It will not be something that the wicked will not have anything about. He'll descend from heaven shout with a plump voice and a trumpet of God. It does not sound like a secret event here. Number two, the ones alive on the earth when Yeshua comes will not go before the ones that are sleeping. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain into the coming of the Lord will not go before those who are fallen asleep. Point number three. Once the Lord raises the dead, then we meet them, the dead, in the air. Then we who are alive and remain should be caught up or raptured, so people call it, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, I think that the best way to figure out when this rapture is going to come, if this is what you want to label it, call it caught up or whatever you want to translate it, or all kinds of different words you could use. But according to the Bible, we have to recognize when the resurrection is. And once we recognize when the resurrection is, then we'll know when the catching away or the rapture or the translation will come, being translated. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll go with me over there, chapter 15, verse 22 through 24, you're going to find out when exactly the rapture happens. Now, I propagate that when the rapture happens, it will be at the same time that the dead are rising. So once we find out when the dead are rising, we'll understand when we're going to be caught up. So in verse 22, it says, in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. But each one in his own order, Yeshua, the first fruits, afterward, please listen, those who are at Yeshua's at his coming. And then comes the end. Okay? So we recognize that the rapture, so to speak, or the catching away, is going to be coming at the second coming of Jesus. There's no third coming here. There's a second coming. Okay? So, those who are raised from the dead at Christ's coming is at the end. Because it says, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts all into all rule and all authority and power. At the end, not 7 years before the end, or 3.5 years before the end, the dead will be raised up. And there's a common misconception that the believers will leave the earth 7 years before the end, depending on what theology or what theologian you hear. Some say 7 years, some say mid-trib, some say, pre-trib. But very evidently, the dead are being raised at a certain time, and that is at his coming. Now, when does Jesus say the resurrection will occur? Let's go over to John chapter 6, and I want to take you to some select verses over there where he very clearly says when the resurrection will happen. John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40, we'll look at first. John 6, 39 and 40. And Jesus, Yeshua, declares, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up, when? At the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, let's go down to verse 44 of John chapter 6, and he declares, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The believers will get the resurrection on the last day. And at that time, the ones who are alive, who believe in Yeshua, will be raptured or caught up or however you want to call it, with the dead who come alive. And this does not come 7 years before the end or come 3.5 years before the end. It happens at the time that the dead are being raised. And so, if we look at another testament found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul also talks about this time, and I'd like to take you over there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 54. And Paul had a revelation. He says this, and start with verse 51 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet. Please pay attention to that. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Now, very evidently, Paul saw this trumpet blast, and he also articulated to the church at Corinth the same thing that he did to the church of Thessalonica. He's talking about the same trumpet blast. And over there in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, he said he would descend with the heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And we see that trumpet here again, and it's identified as the last trumpet. Now, the Apostle Paul proclaims that those who are not sleeping at the time will hear the last trumpet and be changed with the raised dead, and we will all be changed and meet him in the air, according to both these verses. So, what is the last trumpet, and when is the blow? Okay, go over to Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, and I'd like to share with you my understanding of this last trumpet. Revelation 10 and verse 7.
Okay, wait a minute. We're going to have to break in. We got about a minute before break, so you need to give them your... You got about, 30 seconds or so to give them your website, maybe tell them what to find over there, and we'll come back and talk.
Boy, time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, sir.
www.surewordprophecy.org.
And what can we find over there? Don't you have something new over there for the children?
Yes, I do have a section over there for the kids. They have some different games and stuff for the children. I have Bible studies. I have the presentations that I am presenting, PowerPoint presentations, and Bible studies. There are some sermons on there. All kinds of great things for prophecy enthusiasts, including the children. Yes.
Well, that's great. Yeah, it's improving over there all the time. And so, folks, make sure you go over there and to, what is it again, Sure Word of Prophecy?
No, not Sure Word of Prophecy, surewordprophecy.org. There's no of in it, okay?
Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
Right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. 3663, International 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Yes, November's upon us. Colder weather, we need right now donations of coats, hats, you know, gloves, all winter things. We need over-the-counter medications such as pills, painkillers, and any other kind of over-counter meds that you can think of. What's like this? They need what you need. You need cold medicines in the wintertime. They need cold medicines in the wintertime. You know, and otherwise they've got to go through huge rigmaroles to get minor things that then maybe go to a hospital or something, and then they tell them, okay, well, you need cough medicine and blah, 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 and they turn them out with a prescription, and they can't fill it anyway. So it goes back to that. We need those kind of things. So we are the only person in Wichita, that people, church, that does that, or agency. Agencies don't do it. I think they're all scared of overdosing somebody or something. I don't know. But anyway, so pray about it. Anyway, Thanksgiving's coming up. Biggest day of the year. Pray about supporting Thanksgiving so we can make sure all of those who show up have a big, huge family-style meal. Yep, they come over, stay for Thanksgiving, stay all night. It's a really good time, and it's the biggest day of the year, and it's the one day that the news media usually sticks their nose in. So pray about supporting it. You can find the information to support it at prophecyhour.com, where you can find mailing address, where you can mail a check or a money order or any of those kind of things. And remember, people come to us because of love. That's the first answer to why they come to us. Then they're treated as family. That's the second. Above that, they just come because the Father sends them, and they can't get the help in the agency that have millions of dollars in their budget. So pray about it. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And remember, the Father notices all your donations that come from your heart. And it is our responsibility to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. Go to prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com, or call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back talking about the rapture with Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, my brother.
Well, okay. Glad to have you back on. Go ahead.
I believe, my friend, that according to Scripture, it's very evident that the wheat and tares are going to grow together until the harvest. And there won't be any of this 3.5 years before tribulation happens or 7 years before. But in fact, both wicked and righteous will be together at the end. And I think it's clearly articulated in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And I'd like to take you to that parable of the wheat and tares. It starts in verse 24 of chapter 13 of Matthew. But I just want to give you a brief synopsis of what's going on, and then I want to focus in on a couple of important scriptures. Apparently, there was one that came and sowed a field, but then they left, and the enemy came in and sowed some seeds, and they came back and looked around the field and said, "Oh, man, there's a bunch of weeds here. Should we go out and tear them up?" And he said, "No, let them both grow together until the harvest. Well, otherwise, you'll uproot some of the wheat with them." So in verse 30, let's center our thoughts on that. Matthew 13, verse 30. Jesus clearly says to those servants, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together who? The tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So Yeshua is saying to the servants, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. Now let's figure out when the harvest is. When disciples asked to explain the parable in private, in verse 37, it starts the parable, and it says, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seed is the son of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Now, please pay attention to the next seven. Verse 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Now, more importantly is this verse, 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather. Please keep the word in mind, gathering out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. So, briefly, what is happening is the wheat and tares, the wicked and the wicked ones and the children of the kingdom are growing together until the end. And then Yeshua will call the angels and they will gather out of the kingdom. The righteous? No. All things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. Now, look at verse 49. He goes on and continues with certain parables that connect with it. But he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast in the sea and gathered some of every kind. But it says in verse 49, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just. So, in this idea, I see nothing in here at all that says that the righteous are going to leave 3.5 years or 7 years before the wicked. It's very clear that they both are going to go together to the harvest, and the focus about the ones that are gathered or taken are, in fact, the wicked ones. Now, please go over to Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to amplify on this even more. Luke chapter 17, and Yeshua illustrates the end as a couple of the historical characters of the Bible. Noah, in Noah's day, he says, you know, in Noah's day, they ate and planted and built and bought and sold, and then they didn't know that day would come until the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, in the days of Lot, that's verse 28, they did all of that stuff, and verse 29 says, in the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So he's likening the end with Lot being in Sodom and that same day experience that the angels came and got Lot out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So, he didn't say that he took Lot out 3.5 years or 7 years before. He said it was the same day thing. And matter of fact, when you look at the situation of Noah, the one taken and the other left, Noah was the only one left on the earth with his family of eight people survived, but the wicked were taken. So the ones that were taken and Noah's day were the wicked and not the righteous, Noah was left on the earth. So then he goes on to continue as he illustrates Lot and saying, remember Lot's wife in verse 32. But please take note in this context what he says next. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Now, what I find here is the exact opposite of these pre-trib rapture people are propagating, that God will allow anyone to do life. He's actually going to lift them up out of this tribulation and take them to heaven of the wicked here. But according to this, in this context of the day of Noah and the day of Lot, he says, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. So I'm seeing something a little bit different than what the pre-trib rapture teachers are propagating. Now, he goes on, and this is even more important as we study the rest of this context. He says, I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed, and that could surely be the case here with the marriage of homosexuality here in America. Here, that could really be a reality. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other left. Pastor Dan, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If I tell you that two are in your kitchen, one is taken, and the other is left. Two are sitting in your car. One is taken, and the other is left. And two are sitting on your couch in the living room. One is taken, and the other is left. When you ask me where, would you be asking where is the one that's taken or where is the one that is left?
What happened to the one that was taken?
Absolutely. You know that the one that is left is still in your car, the one still sitting on the sofa, and the other one's still in the kitchen. So
sure.
When Yeshua gives his answer, the question is in verse 37, and he answered and asked him, where, Lord? And he gives the answer in verse 37. Please pay attention. Wherever the body is, there the eagles or flesh-eating birds or vultures will be gathered together. So the one taken evidently here is not the righteous, but it's the wicked. They are gathered together to the supper of the birds found in Revelation 19. Please go with me there. Revelation 19. And I believe that is, I'll have to find that here.
Well, while you're looking at it, you know, that same beast, isn't that also the one that's talked about in Ezekiel?
Yes, absolutely. We think the one that's taken here, according to the rapture, people are the ones that are going to heaven. But the ones that are taken here, according to this, is the ones of when the angels go and gather first the tares. These are the ones. This is what you find in the book of Revelation, in verse chapter 19, and you find this in also in Revelation 16, which we'll go there in a second. But he's talking about the wicked being gathered together where the birds, the flesh-eating birds are. So I'd like to take you to Revelation 19 for a moment and show you exactly what Yeshua was speaking of there and what situation this is speaking of. And verse 11 through 17, it says, I saw heaven open and a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of the mouth goes a sharp sword, that he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a wrought iron, and he himself treads the winepress of the thirst of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he on his robe and on his head had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now please, listen. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. This is exactly what Yeshua was speaking of, about the wherever the body is, there the vultures will be gathered together. Now, according to this, the taken are gathered together for the supper of the great God. The invitation is for the flesh-eating birds. And so, in this, it says, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you'll eat the flesh of kings and captains. So they're gathered together. This is a gathering of the wicked at the time of execution. We find this one more place, Brother Dan, in Revelation 16. I'd like to look at that real quick. Revelation 16, you find a gathering of the wicked and for the great supper of the birds. And it's in this context of Revelation 16 where the sixth angel pours out his bowl in the great river Euphrates and the water is dried up. This is in chapter 16, verse 12 through 14. John sees three spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirit demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to, listen, gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. But what I find interesting, even in this context, Brother Dan, is that there is a blessing pronounced in this book for those who watch. Look at verse 15 and 16. So it evidently tells us that someone is going to have to be watching here during this time of this great gathering together. Behold, yeah, I come in as a thief, he declares. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. So, very clearly, at the time of this gathering, the wise are admonished to watch and keep their garments, lest they walk naked and they see a shame. So, the taken here, as all of the left behind proponents believe, are the righteous that go up into heaven. But I see that the wheat and tares are going to grow together until the harvest, and the harvest is the end of the age. And at that time, he'll go forth and gather the wicked to that great battle of the Lord Yahweh. And
yeah,
so now,
true.
Go ahead,
sir. Oh, I was just going to say absolutely. And this is why something, Steve, you know, of course I have a lot of radio guests, but I have folks on that. You were talking about the Coptic Christians earlier being slaughtered and beheaded and so on and so forth in the Middle East and actually around the world. But I've had guests on here that their ministries are to aid those Christians in other countries. And they came on here and talked. And, you know, they say that it is so really hard to get into a mainstream Christian church and talk about this that the pastors won't even take their calls. They don't want to talk to them about it. And the reason being is, you know, that doctrine or that truth, rather, doesn't fit with the Christian's doctrine. Well, you know, you're going to fly out. Well, if we're going to fly out, then what about all these Christians? It's the same way, Steve, when I talk to different evangelists, I'll bring up the fact of the Christians being slaughtered. And they act like it's either of no consequence or it just doesn't fit in with their scenario of, you know, Christianity.
Yes, I'm very seriously concerned. I have contact with brothers in Pakistan and other places through the LinkedIn. I have a lot of pastors in different countries that contact me. And I am very, very concerned that there's very little regard about our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world who are dying on a daily basis. And I think that, in my own personal opinion, I believe that the secret rapture or the pre-trib rapture is an insult to thousands and literally millions who have died for their faith. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Huss and Jerome died at the stake, burning at the stake. I mean, you go through the history of Christianity, and you find even in this century, more Christians have died in this century than all the preceding ones combined. And here we find in America, and only in America, that we find this strange doctrine that, oh, don't worry about it, brother. One day we'll be out of here. God will deliver us from wrath. Well, you go over there and tell some of those people over there that I just read about a pastor having acid thrown in his face and blinded him because he was talking about Yeshua, you know? Jesus very clearly said, my friend, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers Yahweh service. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace, but in the world you might have tribulation. Is that what he said? No.
Yeah.
You will
go ahead.
Have tribulation.
And let me ask you another question. This is important. Let's talk a second. So right now, I believe, and then I want your thoughts on it, I believe that by believing in this doctrine that, you know, the Christians aren't aware of what's going on around them. All forms of persecution are taking over our country. All forms of, you know, whether it's Muslims, which is, you know, they're really catering to Muslims, even in the school, and other forms of religion, and they're taking away Christian rights left and right. And I think the reason the Christians aren't outspoken about all this is because of this doctrine of blind out. What do you think?
Yes, it's all connected. I believe that if you believe that that you're the special anointed ones that will be taken out, then you're really not going to be real attentive to any of that. I talk to a lot of people. It's like talking to deer to stern in the headlight. They hear, but they really don't understand. Here's my issue with it, Pastor Dan, is I've been in the ring. I have fought, and I used to fight quite a bit in the ring. And I see a great fight coming, a perfect storm coming, if you will, relentless in its fury. And I think it's time for the believers to recognize and mentally prepare, first of all, for the fight, and then spiritually, more than anything, get out of the religion and get into a relationship where you are in prayer and you are in the Word of Yahweh every day. Because it's only the word that's encapsulated in the armor, the shield of faith, faith comes by hearing the word, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, the belt of truth, which is sanctified through your truth, your word is truth. We need to understand how to strap that armor on, and it makes no provisions for the backside. At some point in time, we are going to war as a people of Yeshua, and very clearly, there is going to be a war, and the pronouncement is going to be in Revelation 12, rejoice, you heavens, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down upon you, knowing he has just a short time. And this is in the context of the times and a half a time of Revelation chapter 12. And then it says the devil will go out against those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yeshua. And they will not love their lives to death, it says. According to the book of Revelation, you know, what I find interesting is, and they say, oh, we don't find the church in Revelation after chapter 4, mainly because of that one verse that they really pervert, in my opinion, that says, John, come up here and I will show you things that will happen hereafter. Well, a lot of them propagate that the rapture of the church is right there. But I see the saints all over the scriptures after that. Why would the book of Revelation even be written if it would not be for some warnings? And why the warning against the mark of the beast? If we're not going to be here, a lot of 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4; it equals 3.5. And
right.
You know,
Let me say this. Let me say this real quick. I'll let you think about it. Well, you know, folks, you really have to watch that because, you know, they talk in innuendos or whatever, but they talk in half scriptures. They'll take a scripture and instead of giving the full context of the scripture, they'll use like even half a sentence out of that scripture to prove their theory. And that's what it is. That theory didn't even come about till after I think it was about the middle of the 1800s. And it's a soft doctrine, and it's just not there. Back to you, Steve.
Yes, sir. So why all the warnings? Yeshua said there's going to be false Christ, false prophets, that will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it's possible, they will deceive the very elect. Apparently, there's a warning about these particular false Christs and prophets, and they're showing great signs. And he said, behold, I've told you before, if they say he's in a desert, don't go out there, or if he's in a secret chamber, don't believe it. Now, here's how I am coming, as lightning shines from the east to, even to the west, so also will the Son of Man be. This is going to be the most cataclysmic, most eye-opening, audible event that's ever happened in the history of humanity. And apparently, according to the rapture folks, It just happens where one day you wake up, your wife is gone, and you can't find your wife. Apparently, you're wicked. You stay here for 7 years. Well, Jesus said very clearly during this time about the warnings of the false prophets, and don't believe this and that. But why the warnings if we're not going to be here? Then he said immediately after the tribulation of those days, after the tribulation of those days, shall be the sun be darkened, the moon ought to give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of heaven with power and great glory, and he will come down with the sound of a trumpet and gather up his elect. There's that trumpet again. So, but it's very clearly after the tribulation. So, saints, get ready.
Amen.
That you'll be counted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. See, when Daniel was told, you either bow down or I'm going to throw you in the lion's den, Yahweh did not save him out of the lion's den. He saved him in the lion's den. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was told, you either bow down when the music plays or I'm going to throw you in the fire, they said, you go ahead and do that because I know my Lord, and he'll preserve us if that's his will. And so Yahweh did not keep them from the fire, but in the fire, there was one like the Son of Man was right there with him. He didn't save them from it, but he saved them in it. And that's what I see happening at the end. If you are astute in the book of Daniel, you're going to find out that we are going to be made white, purified, and tried in the fire, even into the appointed time of the end. And if we don't understand that, we're not going to be able to endure. That's why he said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved.
And this is the end of this program. Your timing is impeccable. Anyway, I'm sure we'll have you back again. Why don't you give them your website one more time, my brother, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. Thank you. You did real good teaching. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor Dan, for the privilege and opportunity to share the Sure Word of Prophecy. www.surewordprophecy.org. Go over there. I think you really enjoy it. I keep the saints updated with current events also, so if you want to keep an eye on what's going on, just take a look over there, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. May Yahweh bless you.
All right. Be blessed. Well, let's talk again. Shalom. Well, folks, really, I believe that we're coming towards the end of the age. I believe that there's some things that are coming. I don't know exactly. I'm not sitting here saying I know exactly, but I know there's some terrible things coming to the United States. I look for a worldwide economic crash soon. I look for a lot of things. But looking at those things and feeling that pull in my heart, the pull in my heart is that you get right with Yeshua. And you do it now. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him is the only way to the Father. Only through him. Pray about it. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.